Chapter 14. I came out of the doors of the FBI building to find a ring of paparazzi surrounding it, waiting with predatory patience to get more material for their stories. A couple of them saw me and hurried toward me, beginning to ask me questions, thrust microphones toward me, that sort of thing. I winced. I was still pretty tired, but it was going to play merry hell with their gear if I got too close to it. I looked around for a way to get down the sidewalks without messing up anybody's equipment, and that's when they tried to kill me. I'd been the target of a drive-by attempt once before. This one was considerably more professional than the first. There was no roar of engines to give me a warning, no wildly swerving vehicle. The only tip-off I had was a sudden prickling of the hairs on the back of my neck and a glimpse of the dark sedan's passenger window rolling down. Then something hit me in the left side of my chest and hammered me down onto the stairs. Stunned, I realized that someone was shooting at me. I could have rolled down the stairs and into the news crowd, put them between myself and the shooter, but I had no way of knowing whether the shooter wanted me bad enough to fire through a crowd in hopes of getting me. So I curled into a defensive ball and felt two more heavy blows land against me, one of them on my ribs, the second on my left arm, which I'd raised to cover my head. There was an exclamation from below, and then there were several people standing over me. "Hey, buddy," said a pot-bellied cameraman in a hunting jacket. He offered me a hand to help me up. "Nasty fall there. You still in one piece?" I just stared at him for a second, the adrenaline coursing through me, and realized that the cameraman, all of the newsies, in fact, didn't even know what had just happened. It made a creepy kind of sense. I hadn't heard anything. The assassin must have been using a suppressor. There hadn't been any flashes, so he must have done it right, aiming at me through the car window while sitting far enough back to make sure the barrel of his gun didn't poke out suspiciously, and that he never became a highly visible target. I had helped, too, by denying the onlookers the subtle clue of a dead body with little holes in the front of it and big ones in the back. No sound, no sight, and no victim. Why should they think that murder had just been attempted? "Move," I said, hauling myself up by the cameraman's paw. I struggled to get higher, to look over the crowd and get a plate off of the dark sedan. It didn't take much more than stepping around a couple of people and standing on tiptoe to get a view of the shooter's vehicle, cruising calmly away, without roaring engines, without crashing up onto the sidewalk or running red lights. It just vanished into the traffic, like a shark disappearing into the depths. I never got a clear look at the plates. "Damn it," I growled. Pain was starting to register on me now, especially in my arm. The protective spells I'd woven over my duster had held out against the bullets, but the leather had been pulled pretty tight over my skin, and as a result, it felt like someone had smashed a baseball bat into my forearm. The fingers of my left hand were tingling and refused to do more than twitch. I felt similar throbs from two other hits and ran my hands over the duster, just to be sure none of them had gone through without my noticing. I found a bullet caught in the leather of my left sleeve. It hadn't penetrated more than maybe a quarter of an inch, but it was trapped in the leather and deformed from the impact. I pulled a handkerchief out of my pocket, wrapped the bullet in it, and put it back again, managing to do the whole thing unnoticed while about a dozen people looked at me like I was a lunatic. From the street came a wheezy little boop-boop. The Blue Beetle came moving slowly down the street and stopped in front of the building. Molly was behind the wheel, waving at me frantically. I hurried down to the street and got in before the mismatched color scheme of my car sent the obsessive-compulsive federal personnel in the building behind me into a conniption. As Molly pulled away, I buckled up, then got a sloppy kiss on the face from Mouse, who sat in the back seat, his tail going thump, thump, thump against the back of the driver's seat. "Ick," I told him. "My lips touched dog lips. Get me some mouthwash. Get me some iodine." His tail kept wagging, and he smooched me again before settling down and looking content. I sagged back into my seat and closed my eyes. Maybe 2 minutes passed.
"You're welcome," Molly said abruptly, her tone frustrated. "No problem, Harry. Whatever I can do to help."
"Sorry, Padawan," I said. "This has been a long day already."
"I came back from the church and saw a bunch of guys and cops were going in and out of your apartment. The door was broken down, and the whole place looked like it had been ransacked."
She shuddered and clenched the wheel.
"God, I was sure you were dead or in trouble." You were about 90% right, I said. Someone told the feds I was the one who blew up the office building. They wanted to talk to me. Molly's eyes grew wide. What about the swords? We've got to tell my dad right now, or... Relax, I said. I stashed them. They should be safe for now. Molly puffed out a breath and subsided in relief. You look terrible, she said after a minute. Did they beat you up or something? I swept my eyes left and right as we went on, searching. Giant centipede. Oh, Molly said, drawing the word out as though I had explained everything. What are you looking for? I'd been scanning the traffic around us for a dark sedan. I'd found about 30 of them so far, being a master detective and all. The car of the guy who just shot at me. I produced the bullet, a little copper-jacketed round, more slender than my pinky, and a little under an inch long. What is that? Molly asked. 223 Remington, I said. I think, probably. What's that mean? That it could have been almost anybody. It's the round used in most NATO assault rifles. A lot of hunting rifles, too. A thought struck me, and I frowned at her. Hey, how did you know where to find me? I let Mouse drive. Thump, thump.